Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Russia's budget for 2023. We've got the detailed figures which show exactly what Russia's assuming in terms of its income and its expenditure. And also, we've now got the first month's results. So we've seen the figures for January, which, if you haven't checked out the video yet, were absolutely disastrous. January turned out to be the worst month for Russia since it started publishing figures back in 1998. So this has been a really bad start to the new financial year. So in today's video, we'll go through that budget in some detail. We'll have a look at the assumptions that have been made with regards to the price of oil, because that's going to be absolutely critical to actually achieving these figures. And as you'll be aware, Russia is currently under two price caps. There's a price cap for crude oil, and recently there was another price cap introduced for refined products, and that's on top of the bans and the sanctions that have been put in place by a variety of different countries. So we'll go through the assumptions that have been made in the budget, and specifically we'll look at the oil prices and the current levels of discount that Russia is currently offering to countries that are still buying Russian oil. We'll then have a detailed review of the expenditure that Russia has forecast for this year. So we'll look at exactly where that money is going into with regards to national defence, security, education, healthcare, infrastructure, all of those critical things that will be needed for the future success of the Russian economy. I'll then take you on to a detailed review of the January results in respect of how they relate to the budget, because January should equate to roughly around 8%. So we'll have a look at how the first month went and what that means for the rest of the year from Russia's point of view. We'll then have a look at how the deficit that Russia is forecasting is going to be funded, where they're going to get the cash from, because they're not generating enough cash to be able to pay for all of their expenditure. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the likelihood is of Russia achieving their budget for 2023 and what the implications will be if they don't get there. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you can find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel, because it's helped me to buy this sign. This table, which was published by the Ministry of Finance in Russia, so our official figures, shows four sets of figures. The first column are the actual results for January 23. The second column shows the results for January 22. The third column shows the percentage difference between the 2 years. And the fourth column, which is the one that we're going to focus in on for this section of the video, shows the full year budget for 2023. And these figures are all shown in billions of rubles. So you can see that the total income that Russia is forecasting for 2023 is 26.1 trillion rubles. And the exchange rate to the US dollar is roughly around 70 rubles to $1. So this equates to around $375 billion. Now, out of that total income figure, you can see that oil and gas revenue equates to 8.9 trillion rubles, which is roughly around $130 billion. And that equates to 34% of the total income for the whole of Russia. Now, at first glance, you may be thinking that that figure is surprisingly low. However, this is the budget for the Russian economy, so the government of Russia. And as the oil and gas companies are essentially private companies that are listed on the Russian stock exchange, not all of the revenue from oil and gas sales goes directly to the government. The government owns a certain percent of those companies, and that's shown in that oil and gas income line. However, the majority of the income is taken from tax that is applied against all of those companies. So the non-oil and gas income of $17.2 trillion relates to tax and all other forms of revenue that are being received by the Russian authorities. So that's around two-thirds of all of the revenue for the total country. And you can see from the breakdown that the biggest single component of the other income is VAT, so value-added tax. So this is the tax that's applied by the government against all goods and services in Russia. And this tax is applied by most countries in the world and gives us a really good indication as to how the economy is doing. Because when the economy is doing well, there will be lots of goods and services being sold and therefore the amount of VAT will increase. However, when the country's not doing as well, then that means that the level of trade will drop and therefore the amount of VAT will also drop. And the other major form of tax, which has been split out in this budget, is income tax, which is obviously the tax that's being applied against the income for all of the individuals in Russia. And you can see that the projected level of income tax for the full year is 1.6 trillion rubles, or around $25 billion. Now, in terms of expenditure for 2023, the forecast figure is 29 trillion rubles, which equates to around $415 billion. And later in the video, I'll give you a detailed breakdown of how that expenditure is going to be split in terms of all of the different areas of the economy. And the final figure that's showing at the bottom of this chart is the deficit. So this is basically the difference between the forecast level of income and the forecast level of expenditure. And as you can see, for 2023, Russia is forecasting a deficit of $2.9 trillion, which equates to around $40 billion. So basically what the Russian authorities are projecting here is that for 2023, they are going to spend more than they earn. Therefore, they will have to fund this deficit from an external source. And we'll go on to talk about that later in the video. Now, one of the biggest assumptions when putting this budget together is the price of oil. As we've discussed, direct income from oil and gas equates to around a third of the total income. However, when you take into account the tax applied against all the oil and gas companies, it's significantly more than 50%, potentially up to around two-thirds of all of this income has a link to the oil and gas price. And as I'm sure you'll be aware, the price that Russia is selling its oil at is one of the hottest topics in the world right now. Two major price caps have been applied against Russian oil over the last couple of months. On the 5th of December, all crude products that are transported over the sea had a maximum cap of $60 applied against them. And on the 5th of February, we saw a second price cap being applied against refined products such as gasoline and diesel. And those price caps are slightly more complicated because there's a number of different products, all of which trade at different price points. So those price caps are going to cause a problem for Russia in terms of maximizing their revenue for the full year. And the assumption that's been made in this budget is that Russia will achieve an average price of $70 per barrel for all of its oil. So let's now have a look at oil prices in a bit more detail. This chart shows the movement in the price of Brent crude oil over the course of the last 12 months. And if you follow the channel, I'm sure you'll be familiar with this chart because we've looked at it a number of times. And what we can see here is a classic game of two halves. In the first half of 2022, oil prices spiked following Russia's invasion of Ukraine as the market started to panic about what was going to happen and whether or not there was going to be enough supply of oil. And we saw the price of oil spiking above $120 in March. Prices then stayed high at around $100 or $110 per barrel and rose again to $120 in June. However, in the second half of 2022, we started to see oil prices coming down as a result of the global slowdown, the impact of all of the interest rate increases and the slowdown in China and a number of other economies resulted in a drop in demand for oil, and that led to a drop in the price. And the current price of a barrel of oil is trading at around $85. So at face value, when you look at the price of $85, the assumption in the Russian budget of $70 per barrel looks reasonable. However, as we discussed earlier in the video, Russia isn't able to sell its oil at market prices because of the price caps that have been applied against it. This chart shows the difference between the price of Russian oil and Brent crude oil over the course of the last 12 months. And this chart is shown in US dollars. So you can see that this time last year, there was virtually no difference between the price of a barrel of Russian oil and the price of a barrel of Brent crude. However, immediately following the invasion of Ukraine, there was a backlash against Russian oil. A lot of countries such as the USA, Canada, and the UK came out and said that they would no longer be buying any Russian oil. And a variety of sanctions were introduced against Russian companies, including payment sanctions, which meant that it was difficult for some countries to be able to actually buy Russian oil. And as a result of all of these issues, Russia started offering large discounts to countries such as China and India to encourage them to take larger volumes. And by the start of April, the discount that was being applied against Russian oil sales was around $37 per barrel. And that large differential in price remained in place until around the middle of August, when the OPEC countries announced that they were going to cut back on their production in order to maintain oil prices at a higher level. They decided that it was better to sell lower volumes at a higher price in order to maintain their profit margins. And because of that global reduction in supply, the discount that Russia was offering reduced in August to around $25 per barrel. And that discount level remained stable until the 5th of December, when two things happened. Firstly, the European Union introduced an outright ban on the purchase of all Russian oil. So that meant that the 27 countries in the European Union who were still buying Russian oil up until that point could no longer buy crude oil. So that reduced the demand for Russian oil dramatically. And in addition to that, on the same day, the G7, the European Union and Australia introduced a price cap on all Russian oil of a maximum $60 per barrel. and that meant that Russia had to increase the discount back to around $32 per barrel, which is the current level that we're seeing in the market today. And this chart shows the sales price of Russian oil over the last 12 months. And I think this chart is really interesting because if you remember back to the price of Brent crude oil when we talked about a game of two halves, there was a huge spike in prices at the front end and then we saw the prices coming down gradually in the second half of the chart. We don't see that here. What we're seeing is a dip in prices, which was the initial reaction to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Then there was a recovery in the summer period and since that point, Russian prices have been tracking what the market has been doing. However, the sales price is coming in line with that discount chart that we just went through. And what you can see from this chart is that the current price that Russia is achieving is around $55 per barrel compared with the market rate of $85. And this obviously compares with the budgeted rate of $70 per barrel. Now, in terms of the impact of the oil price cap, Russia have stated that they do not comply with the cap. They don't recognize it. And any country that signs up to it will not receive any Russian oil supplies in the future. So it sounds like Russia is completely ignoring the cap. However, if you look at what's happened to the price of Russian oil since the 5th of December, when it was trading at around $62 per barrel, you can see that Russian oil has not sold for more than $60. And actually, it's been trading at less than $60, significantly less on some occasions. So this really shows that the oil price cap is working. It is effective. And that means that it's going to be very challenging for Russia to be able to achieve this budgeted level of $70 per barrel. And that's aside from the discussion with regards to the actual volumes of oil. Will Russia be able to sell the same volume of oil that it was assuming in this budget? Because its markets have contracted materially over the course of the last couple of months. This chart shows the breakdown of Russian spending over the last 6 years. And the column on the far right-hand side here shows the budgeted spending of $29.1 trillion that we looked at the start of the video. In 2022, total expenditure increased by more than 11% to 27.6 trillion rubles, which is around $400 billion. But I think the really interesting thing to look at in terms of how this expenditure is broken down is how much is being spent on defence and national security versus all of the other parts of the economy. The red section at the bottom of these columns covers expenditure directly on national defence, and you can see that that figure has increased every single year in the last 5 years, as has the expenditure on national security. And these increases in defence spending have come at the expense of all of the other parts of the economy. Around a third of the 2023 budget will be spent on defence and domestic security, while spending for schools, hospitals and roads will be cut back as the country diverts funds to the military campaign in Ukraine. Security spending will increase by around 50% compared with 2022, and the combined military and security outlay is a record amount for the Kremlin. Now, officially, defence spending is actually forecast to only increase by 1% in 2023 to 5 trillion rubles. However, when you look at the detail, defence spending was actually increased by 30% in 2022 from an initial planned level of 3.5 trillion rubles. So the 1% is slightly misleading because the figure for 22 was increased substantially. Now, the dark blue section on this chart, which is labelled national economy, relates to spending on roads, agriculture and research and development, and is forecast to fall by 23% to 3.5 trillion rubles, with the amount spent on infrastructure reduced by 23.5% and industrial spending will be down by 18.5%. Education spending, which is the next section on the chart, will be cut by 2% to 1.4 trillion rubles. However, interestingly, there will be an increase of over 500% this year on patriotic training in schools, which refers to Russia's view of current historic events. Expenditure on healthcare is forecast to fall by 9% in 2023. However, the next section on the chart, which is social spending, which relates to pensions and welfare, is forecast to increase by 8% to 7.3 trillion rubles. So the overall summary for the forecast spending for 2023 is that there's going to be an increased focus on national defence and security and less focus on education and healthcare. So in order to assess the achievability of the 2023 budget, I thought it was worth looking at the performance in January, which would give us a feel to how Russia has started its financial year. Now, there is an element of seasonality in the oil and gas business. Demand does tend to be higher during the winter period, and January represents the winter for the majority of the markets that Russia is selling into. And in terms of the number of days in the month, January obviously has 31, so it's one of the larger months. So overall, you would expect January to be a good month for Russia. However, total income in January was 1.4 trillion rubles, which compared to over 2 trillion rubles in January 2022. and that represented a year-on-year fall of 35% in total income terms. So obviously that's not a good indicator. And if we take a very broad brush view of each month of the calendar year equating to 8.3% of the total budget, because we've got 12 months, the income earned in January of 1.4 trillion rubles equates to around 5.2% of the full year budget. So that indicates that Russia is significantly behind where it wants to be by the end of the first month. And when you look at the breakdown of the income, you can see that oil and gas revenue of 426 billion rubles compared to 795 billion rubles this time last year, which is a fall of more than 46%. And in terms of the percentage for the full year target, it's around 4.8%. And it's a similar story for the non-oil and gas revenue, which obviously a lot of that relates to tax related to oil and gas sales. So they are intrinsically linked. But the actual non-oil and gas income figure of 931 billion in the month of January compared to 1.3 trillion for January 2022, which represents a shortfall of around 28%. And as a percentage of the full year target, it's coming in at around 5.4%. So another significant shortfall. And if we look at the breakdown of that income, you can see that VAT came in more than 44% below the 2022 figure. And the amount of VAT taken in the month equates to around 5.4% of the full year budget. And the position for income tax is even worse because the figure reported is a negative figure. So this indicates that Russia actually gave rebates rather than taking income tax overall in the month. And this obviously isn't just a seasonal thing, because in January 22, Russia did take 65 billion rubles in income tax. Expenditure in the month of 3.1 trillion rubles was almost 59% higher than the figure for 2022 and represents almost 11% of the full year budget. So what we're seeing here is an overspend in the month at the same time as we're seeing a significant shortfall in income. And as a result of that, the January figures showed a deficit of over $1.7 trillion compared to a profit of 125 billion rubles for January 2022. And that deficit equates to around 60% of the full year budgeted figure for 2023. So this is obviously serious underperformance in the month. And the reason that I wanted to highlight this is that it obviously puts more pressure onto the Russian economy in terms of achieving those 2023 forecast figures. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an up-to-date position with regards to what's happening in Russia, because there's been a lot of commentary in the press recently about what's likely to happen in 2023. As you may be aware, the IMF recently revised their forecast for Russia for 23 and are saying that the country will now achieve growth of 0.3%. And this is the only one of all of the different research agencies that are projecting any growth for Russia. Everybody else is still saying that the Russian economy is going to fall in 2023. Now, interestingly, the IMF revised forecasts were released before we saw the data for January. And as we've been through in today's video, the results for January were terrible for Russia. These are the worst results in Russian history. So this has been an extremely bad start to 2023 in terms of being able to achieve that budget. So what I wanted to do today was really break down the assumptions in that budget and see whether or not I think they are reasonable. And I think the single biggest assumption that's been made in that budget is achieving a sales price of $70 per barrel for Russian oil. Now, as we saw earlier in the video, I think that would be a perfectly sensible assumption if Russia wasn't under any form of sanction, because the current oil price is trading at around $85 per barrel, and the estimates for the full year of 23 are coming in at around about $90 per barrel. That's what oil and gas industry experts are saying will be the average price over the course of the next 12 months. But the problem that Russia is facing is that it's under heavy sanctions, and those sanctions are actually getting worse on a month-by-month basis. So on December the 5th, we had the oil price cap that was introduced for crude oil products, as well as the EU ban. And the introduction of both of those sanctions has had a really negative impact on Russia's oil business. Russia has been scrambling to try to find new markets to sell that oil into. And what we've seen from the Russian results for January is the initial impact of the introduction of that ban and the price cap. But going forward, it's actually going to be much worse, because the second ban and the second price cap came into effect on the 5th of February. So the figures for January don't include any impact of those sanctions. And those sanctions are potentially worse. As you may have seen in some of the other videos that I've posted, refined products tend to be a much smaller market, because countries like India and China don't want to pay more for finished product. They would prefer to buy in crude oil, refine it themselves through their own processes, and then sell those refined products into their own markets or into other markets. So they don't want to be buying expensive refined products from Russia. Russia has been selling the majority of its refined oil into the European market, even up until the deadline day of the 5th of February. We've seen that from the data that I've shown you. So this is going to have a huge impact on Russia's economy. And the problem that Russia has is that out of its production of around 10 million barrels of oil every day, it's been selling around 5 million barrels of crude oil and 3 million barrels of refined oil every single day into the international markets. Now that the EU ban has been fully applied for refined products, Russia needs to find a market for around 1.5 million barrels of refined products every single day. And if it can't do that, it will then have to cut back on the amount of crude oil it's refining within the country, which would obviously have an impact in terms of employment and all of the revenue that refined products are generating. And that means that it would then need to divert that oil back into crude and sell that into the international markets. So there is a real potential here that Russia could be flooding the market with additional oil products. And there's only so much demand that India and China have for additional products on a daily basis. So there's a potential that Russia could actually see the price of its oil falling further, having to offer bigger discounts to encourage buyers to take larger volumes. And that obviously puts that $70 assumption in their budget under real pressure. And if we look at the figures for January, the average price that Russia achieved for oil sales was under $50. So that is a long way away from the $70 assumption. In order to make that up for the full year, Russia will need to sell some of its oil above $70 to get the average back to $70. So there's a really big question mark at the moment hanging over Russia's assumptions for its income for 2023. And as we discussed earlier in the video, it's not just the direct income from oil and gas that's a problem for Russia, because a lot of its other income is received indirectly from oil and gas sales. This is VAT and income tax relating to those oil products. So when we see a fall in oil and gas revenue, we will see a commensurate fall in income tax and VAT revenue. So this will be a double whammy for the Russian economy. And then when we look at expenditure, we saw earlier in the video that expenditure has been rising year on year over the last 6 years. And a lot of that expenditure is being diverted into defense and national security at the expense of healthcare and education. And obviously, on a longer term basis, that's really bad news for the Russian economy, because Russia has an aging population. We've seen that from the population charts that I've shown you over recent videos. And of course, an aging population puts more pressure on your healthcare system, because older people generally have more healthcare issues. So reducing your expenditure on healthcare at the moment doesn't seem to make much sense from that point of view. But added on top of that issue, Russia needs to make sure that its education standards are very high, because it's got a diminishing number of young people. It needs those young people to be more productive, highly educated, to be able to generate more profit going forward for the country. So cutting back on education expenditure really doesn't make any sense for the long-term prospects for the Russian economy. So I think the overall summary from today's video is that the assumptions in the budget for 2023 for Russia are challenging. And when you look at the performance in January, it's been a terrible start. Russia has got a mountain to climb to be able to achieve these numbers. And of course, the budgeted numbers actually show a deficit for the full year. So that means that Russia will need to dip into its reserves to be able to pay for everything. And if the income falls further than expected, if it actually comes in below the forecast level, then that will obviously result in an increased deficit and mean that Russia will need to dip into its reserves even more. Now, the National Wealth Fund currently sits at around $155 billion. Russia does have other reserves, but a lot of them have been trapped overseas. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that at the start of the war, around $300 billion worth of assets were seized all around the world. So they're sitting in international banks, in currency and various other forms, and have been frozen. So Russia doesn't have access to any of that. But its National Wealth Fund, which is basically the piggy bank within Russia, does have $155 billion in it. Now, in January, it's been reported that Russia had to take around $38 billion out of the National Wealth Fund to fund some of its losses. And it's also been announced that Russia has been issuing bonds to try to fund some of its deficit. So going forward over the course of 2023, it's likely that Russia will need to keep dipping into the National Wealth Fund, and it may well have to issue more bonds within Russia to keep funding that deficit. Obviously, the international bond market is closed to Russia right now because of all of the sanctions. So overall, 2023 is going to be a very challenging year for Russia. It's going to be difficult to hit those budget figures, and it's likely that they'll have to dig into their reserves to keep funding the expenditure on the war in Ukraine. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.